You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Meat Friday at that. Smoked cherry bomb chicken on the Traeger. Danettes have to wait 40 minutes or so before they get to dive in. Coming up, Mike Florio will join us. The Raiders got financially spanked yesterday. $500,000 stripped of a sixth-round pick for more COVID-19 violations. Plus $150,000 fine for John Gruden. So you're talking about over $1 million so far. And this is punishment for Trent Brown not wearing his tracking device at times while at the team facility, testing positive after his teammates tested, and as well as safety Jonathan Abram. They were in close proximity with him without mask on. So the third time this season, the Raiders have been punished for COVID-19 violations. Hey, we lead the league in one category. What's that? Being punished by the commissioner for COVID. And this is a playoff caliber team. Remember, Gruden was fined for not consistently wearing his mask during the Raiders' season opener against Carolina. He was fined $100,000 for that. Team fined $250,000. The second punishment came after several players appeared at a charity event without mask on. That's $30,000 for one player. Other players, including Derek Carr, fined $15,000. So that puts your grand total to over $1 million. Congratulations there, Raiders. And it's a good team. I think they're a playoff caliber team. They're a good-ish team. Played well in Cleveland last week, and here we are again. And this is what the NFL agreed upon. The Players Association and the owners, everybody agreed on this. These are the protocols, and you have to adhere to these. Because if not, you're going to get a situation that is, it's not quite what Wisconsin football is right now, but Wisconsin may have to shut down their season. If you're not going to follow these protocols, chances are you're putting your season at risk. And the NFL will just not stand for that. You know, the NCAA isn't fining or, you know, taking away whatever scholarship from Wisconsin. But if I'm the NCAA, I would look into that. Because, and I don't know if they have the power to it, I'm guessing, or the Big Ten should be looking at this. You have to police your own conference, your own schools. Look at what happened in the Pac-12 already. They haven't even played yet, a game canceled. Cal. How is it Cal can't play a game with positives, but basically in the same area, the Niners could play last night with positives? I guess it's just the difference between the NFL and Pac-12 football and the amount of money that's at stake there. But last night, Aaron Rodgers looked brilliant. 4 touchdown passes, and he had this to say.
You know, we've gotten off to a good start every single week, and that's been important for our football team. You know, a lot of that's been the, you know, the scripting that Matt does. And then we've just gotten out and executed really well.
In the last 2.5 years, he's had 75 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions. Hey, let's draft a quarterback. Hey, you know what we need on this team? A quarterback.
No one's going to see it coming.
Yeah. And the Packers select Jordan Love out of Utah State.
Excuse me?
Yes. I did watch Utah State last night against Nevada.
Good helmets,
yeah,
Utah State.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. Good to watch some football. And Boise State and BYU will be on my TV set coming up tonight. Clemson, Notre Dame. Now it's down to 5. It was 7. Now it's down to 5. Florida, Georgia. I just like saying Florida, Georgia line. Todd always goes, wait, what are you talking about? I go, no, the group Florida, Georgia line. And then Todd always give me the point spread. It's just us, Todd.
Just us.
Having a little fun there. Michigan and Indiana. Yeah. Michigan, 3.5. last hour. This is one of the better teases I've had since I've been doing this. And I've been doing this a long time. Ryan in Honolulu called in, and I was up against a hard out, as we like to say, in the radio industry. So I was going to commercial break. I had to be out at the certain time. And, Ryan, one of our longtime listeners. And I said, look, you're going to have to wait till next hour to give us the mock headlines that you have. And I think that kept a lot of people in their cars. So people probably, 5 minutes late for work right now. But Ryan joining us from our Honolulu affiliate. Ryan, thanks for staying with us in the final hour.
You're welcome, Dan. I'm an amateur. I can handle it.
Okay.
So I've got a couple comments on Todd, and then I've got a couple of mock horse lines to finish off with.
Okay.
Todd won the inaugural Golden Phony Award. So technically, he's the most awarded booker in the biz.
Yes. Yes, he did win
now,
that.
Now, you guys talked about complimenting. Now, you got to compliment your wife. Because I tell her she's pretty every day. You don't have to lie when it's the truth. Now, I was blessed to meet with Todd and his family in Hawaii when he came, and he has a beautiful family, and they were amazing last year. And see, over-complimenting is good, Todd. Didn't that feel good? Didn't that make you feel good?
It did make me feel very good. Very warm feeling.
And I'll do a hard out here.
Yeah.
Mark horse lines. Stallion of the day. First time for a long time. And this one's for Paulie. Foliage.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's a trot off, Dan.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. That's Ryan in Honolulu. I didn't know that you had met with Ryan.
I went to a University of Honolulu, Hawaii basketball game while we were on vacation.
And you met Ryan.
And Ryan was there, and he introduced me to his lovely wife, and we did a little bit in like between the seats there. He did like a little interview with me. It was very nice.
I can't imagine you go to Hawaii with your wife and you say, you know what? Let's don't go to the beach. Let's go inside and watch a basketball game.
The girls weren't as excited as my son and I were, but like it was like one of those classic things with like, you know, with other schools. It wasn't just like the University of Hawaii. There were like teams from around the country doing one of those like the Maui Classic type thing.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that made it that much more exciting for my wife and daughter, but we got through it.
All right. Well, that's Ryan. Ryan in Honolulu. Yes, Paulie.
Ryan, the Fritzy of callers.
The Golden Booker. You know, by the way, Ryan bringing up something we mentioned 2 hours ago, which doesn't always translate to the audience listening.
If Todd had done that, much like Ryan just did, he would have been spoken to.
Yes.
Todd, no one even knows what they're talking about right
now. Yes.
It was 2 hours ago, Todd.
Yeah.
No one even knows what that means.
Yeah. But Ryan.
Ryan, no one even knows what that means.
Yeah,
Ryan.
I don't know Ryan. I didn't meet him in a basketball game, so I can't say, Ryan, you can't do that. You got to be topical right now, not something that happened 2 hours ago. You're better than that. Packers roll over the Niners, and Davante Adams, I guess, grabbing some headlines. Maybe we were just trying to grab something out of this game, other than Aaron Rodgers is still really, really, really good. But here is the question and the answer that's creating some headlines here.
Think you're at the point where you can say you're the best wide receiver in the NFL? Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that's not being conceited. That's just being confident. I think, you know, obviously what I've done and what I'm going to continue to do is going to prove that to anybody who isn't on board with that. But I truly believe that just based off of the work that I put in, you know, the connection that I have between my quarterback, you know, it's not just about me. I mean, just running the route
you get the gist of it. Yeah. I don't think he's boasting. He's confident. And the reporter is leading the witness too. Basically saying, hey, do you want to agree with me? You're the best receiver in football. I would hope my receiver, if it's Davante Adams or, you know, we go around the league and, you know, there's quite a few of those. DeAndre Hopkins.
None of the Bears wide receivers would answer a question that way. I can guarantee it.
No. There's a few teams, if you ask the wide receivers, you're the best wide receiver in football. But Davante Adams has put up these big numbers. I mean, I'm surprised when he doesn't put up these numbers. But it always feels like Green Bay wide receivers get overshadowed by Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. Now, they are lifted up by them. So they're overshadowed, but then I can also say, but because of Aaron Rodgers, you know, if you have somebody else in there, is Davante Adams the same wide receiver? No, he's not. But you're playing with Aaron Rodgers. And those who played with Brett Favre, You were going to get the ball. You were playing in big games. You're playing on national TV. You get a lot of publicity. And, you know, there's some nice, you know, wide receivers there. I thought that Sterling Sharp was a wonderful receiver and headed to the Hall of Fame before he got injured. But other than that, you know, it doesn't feel like these receivers get elevated to the point where we go, they're the best in football. The group always feels like it can be one of the best groups in football, but singularly, you don't feel that way. But with Davante Adams, he wants to, you know, look at himself as the best receiver. Great. I love when you walk on the field and you want to prove it. You feel like you have to prove it every week. Yeah, McLevin.
Can I ruin your Friday with a system argument?
Yes, you can.
It feels like there's certain teams where the wide receivers leave and they stink. Like, there's a, even Eli Manning, like, there's all these Giants receivers had huge numbers in that system, then got paid and fell apart. The Steelers, bad elsewhere. The Patriots, terrible elsewhere. The Packers. So, like, there's certain, like, you it's like you don't trade for a Braves pitcher. You don't want a Steelers receiver. You don't want a Patriots receiver. So there's got to be, like, a connection there.
Well, it's hard to be a great receiver with an average quarterback. Right?
Absolutely. But, like, yeah. And
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald survived.
He's such a miracle because of that.
Yes. I mean, he did have Carson Palmer, and he had Kurt Warner. But you look at those other quarterbacks, you have to have a great quarterback there. I mean, you could have receivers in Chicago who might be good. You just don't have a good quarterback there. And you could be great in Jacksonville, and Allen Robinson was really talented there. Nobody cared. It was like
he's pretty good in Chicago. He just doesn't.
He doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, but Santonio Holmes gets $50 million after being with Big Ben and is a complete bust with the Jets. You know, sometimes you can overrate the guy. Maybe
who was his quarterback?
Yeah,
with the Jets.
Yeah, nobody. I have no idea.
If you're playing. A lot of things, there's so many things that factor into this. You're not just this singular talent there, where if there's a basketball team and there's five guys, the one guy can take you to the next level. In football, how good is my offensive line? How good is my quarterback? Who's my offensive coordinator? What is the system that we play? If I look back on Seattle, if DK Metcalf played with Seattle 2 years, 3 years ago, they might be still just running the football and we wouldn't know about DK Metcalf. They had Tyler Lockett and that was it. And they get DK Metcalf who drops to them. Now all of a sudden they're a passing team. Yeah, Paul.
It's almost like a cycle though. If you're a team with a great quarterback, you're not going to spend on the receivers because you know you just need good receivers. You don't need to spend on great. You can go back to Deion Branch. Remember when he broke out with the Patriots, what, 12, 13 years ago?
He was a Super Bowl MVP, I think.
He was a household name, Deion Branch. And then he said, I'm not going to get paid here. I'm going to go to Seattle and get paid. And he became irrelevant. He became good, but irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah, McLevin.
There was some thinking DeAndre Hopkins. Well, you know what? If he leaves Deshaun Watson, he's going to not be that good. And then it turned out that he was that good. You know, sometimes a guy leaves a good quarterback and goes to another good quarterback is great. But there were a lot of people saying, well, I don't know if Hopkins is going to be as good outside the Texans.
Well, he has Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray can run and throw. I didn't know how good consistent he would be at throwing, but he's capable of doing that. DeAndre Hopkins is on the short list, best receivers in the game. Yes, McLovin.
I think an interesting one is Michael Thomas because he's
well,
really
we're going to find out
yeah.
if Taysom Hill is his quarterback next year. I'm not looking at 130 catches from Michael Thomas.
If we did this poll last year at this time, would Michael Thomas maybe win it?
Yes. Yeah. Because it felt like you knew he was getting it, and he's one of those guys that not beating you with speed, he beats you with position. He finds spaces, or he creates space. And, you know, extremely difficult. And Chris Carter was like this. Chris Carter wasn't going to run by you, but he had that ability. If you threw it, he was catching it and creating space there. Yeah, Paul.
I'm a Taysom Hill fan. I think he's very underused. He should be a running back, receiver, slot guy. I'm ready to go pie in the face on under 7.5 games started at quarterback for his entire career for Taysom Hill. He's 30 years old, and he's at none so far.
You're taking under 7.5 total starts
at the quarterback position.
Ooh.
Quarterback position. Not like coming into a game at halftime where he is the declared starter for a team.
Anybody want to take Paulie up a pie to the face Taysom Hill? Anybody a Taysom Hill fan in here?
He'll be 31 next year and has had no starts. He hasn't played quarterback since like 2012.
You're banking on Taysom Hill not being the starting quarterback next year. when Drew Brees leaves.
I don't think they're going to go that direction because then that's a rebuild.
See, I think Jameis Winston is their quarterback of the future.
He's a quarterback.
Looking at the roster, Jameis Winston makes more sense than Taysom Hill.
It'd be like saying we're going to put Jameis Winston at tight end. Well, he's a big guy. He could probably catch.
Like the Patriots should have just stuck with Julian Edelman and had him at quarterback.
Taysom was pretty competitive in college, but he was a halfback playing or a fullback playing quarterback.
Jesse in Los Angeles. Hi, Jess. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP.
Hey.
Happy Positively Friday, gents. It's always great to hear from guys like the old guard, guys like Musburger, you know, Vin Michaels and Bob Uecker, people like them in sports. They're national treasures, so thank you for that. That stat on Rodgers' projection, 48 TDs to 4 interceptions. Now, obviously, you don't expect that to hold, but if it did, that's insane. And I have one more thing for you guys. Positivity Friday in mind, there's no question you guys are the best sports talk show on the air. I mean, you guys got Elmer Fudd doing mock horse racing names, and it's incredible content, whether it's good or bad. And Todd with 1D, you did well today, my man. You guys are the best. Hands down, thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. We appreciate that. Yeah, Todd looks like Elmer Fudd with his outfit today.
I did get the, she didn't just give me a look. The wife actually said, what's with the Elmer Fudd getup? And I just rolled with it.
No, yeah. You're all in.
My Bass Pro Shops Cabela hat. Yeah. I went a little too crazy maybe with the red and black flannel scheme to look like an old Bugs Bunny character, but I feel good on Friday with that.
If you had the hat with the flaps on it, the ear flaps, you know, the winter hat, yeah. I could see that, you know, and you had your gun. I could see you out there hunting.
A little musket walking around.
Perry in Alabama. Hey, Perry.
First time caller, 6'2", 265. I wanted your opinion on something.
All right.
All right. A.J. McCarron is sitting on the bench in Houston. And his go-to receiver at Alabama was Amari Cooper, who's going to be the second all-time touchdown career leader after the LSU game. Now, you got three backup quarterbacks in Dallas that really don't amount to anything. Why don't Jerry Jones go get McCarron and at least try to save the season? What else? Well, how bad could it possibly get?
Well, thanks for the phone call, Perry. I don't know what he would cost you, and I don't know how much Jerry Jones wants to salvage this season. You don't have a fan base showing up, your normal fan base. You don't have to placate them. But I don't know how much they want to win right now. Because even if you feel like you could get healthy by the end of the year and you win the division – host a playoff game, and you could actually win that playoff game, then I could understand where you're going to go all out and maybe bring in another quarterback. I'm assuming Andy Dalton will come back from this concussion. I don't know if you look at A.J. McCarron just because he played, you know, college ball with Amari Cooper. What's he going to bring out the best in Amari Cooper? And I don't know, is A.J. McCarron, he didn't start over Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. Yes, McLovin.
You know, one guy that they probably could have was Josh McCown, who was on the Eagles practice squad and just signed with the Texans. And I think, I know he's in Texas. I thought that was a name they might look at. 41 or so.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know how invested Jerry Jones is in this season now. Because it's Super Bowl. It's not just winning the division. This was about winning the Super Bowl with Jerry. He spent all the money. We dealt with Dak's contract on and off for 18 months. It felt like, okay, I got Dak at least under contract for 1 year. We're all in. I'm in a bad division. We're going to breeze through this, and you know we're going to be the team to beat in the NFC. And then you have this. I don't know if he just says, you know what, let's just kind of go through the motions, get through the season, try not to lose too many more players to injury. But I don't know how motivated he is. At this age, I don't know. Take a break. Mike Florio on loan from Pro Football Talk will join us coming up here. What's he think of the NFL going after the Raiders with these fines for COVID? 21 after the hour. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Today and tomorrow, Breeders' World Cup, the championships, the Breeders' Cup World Championships from Keeneland Racetrack. I've been to this in Lexington, Kentucky. I've been to Keeneland. And I've been to Claiborne Farms, by the way. Claiborne Farms? Anybody?
Apple picking, or is it like for horses?
No.
It's thought you maybe going to get a
some
little pumpkin.
Cider?
Yeah.
No.
Taking the dog for a walk and pictures?
No. Claiborne
apple cider donuts.
Claiborne Farms. Yes, McLovin.
Do they have a little train ride? I love the train ride.
Corn maze?
Biggest international horse racing event of the year, featuring 14 championship races worth over $31 million in purses and awards. Two-day celebration. It's so big, it's 2 days. You don't want to miss out on this. NBC Sports will bring this to you. Some of the most thrilling moments in racing history taking place at the Breeders' Cup. Zenyatta in 2009, American Pharoah in 2015. Who's making history this year? Learn more at breederscup.com/2020. Catch all the action starting today only on NBC Sports. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Breeders' Cup today and tomorrow. BreedersCup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. If you miss any interviews, you can always go to danpatrick.com and you can hear them in their entirety. Say good morning to Peacock, who carries the program. Also carries Pro Football Talk Live with the popular Mike Florio and Chris Sims every morning, Monday through Friday, preceding our show. And Mike, kind enough to join us. What did the Raiders do wrong, and did it warrant that kind of punishment?
Well, Dan, it all flows from the Trent Brown positive test that was followed by Trent Brown not wearing a contact tracing device, which is one of the key mechanisms for determining who was exposed to a player who eventually tests positive. That was part of it. And it was an accumulation of the various things we've seen the Raiders punished for, from John Gruden not wearing a mask. That was $350,000 in total fines. An unauthorized person in the locker room, that was another $50,000 fine. The event where several players were present in a confined space with too many people and no masks in sight, players were fined for that. So this is that system of progressive discipline the NFL uses when the first effort doesn't take. They hit you a little harder the next time, and they'll keep hitting you harder and harder. So this time, $650,000 in fines, a sixth-round draft pick goes away. And if they don't straighten up, there will be more punishments, and they will be more severe. And the draft pick usually is what gets a team's attention. They don't like giving up those unscratched lottery tickets that can become anything. They don't want to have those stripped away from them.
I don't know if his comments match the headline, and it was fair to Devontae Adams. He was asked, basically, are you the best wide receiver in football? And he said, yes. And then he explained why he thought he was. I have no problem with it. It's like we criticize the athlete when he doesn't say anything. Then when he does say, we criticize him for saying something. Devontae Adams, I don't know. Is he the best receiver? Here's the question we had earlier, Mike. You can have any receiver. Any receiver for the next 4 years, the cost is the same. Who would you take?
DK Metcalf, without question. DK Metcalf.
That's who won the poll. Yeah.
Yeah, without question. But I don't have a problem with Devontae Adams saying he thinks he's the best receiver, because you need to believe that. In order to put that uniform on, in order to cross that thick white stripe and go onto the field and accept the various physical risks that you're taking every time you play, and to play at the highest possible level, you need to have confidence that borders on delusion and sometimes crosses over into delusion. I'm sure there are plenty of receivers not as good as Devontae Adams or DK Metcalf that would say, yeah, I think I'm the best. You have to think you're the best. And I think one of the key ingredients, Dan, for the best receivers that we see now is not being a first round draft pick, because not being a first round draft pick lights a fire under these guys. Devontae Adams was a second round pick. Michael Thomas, who is motivated unlike anyone else at the position, second round draft pick, saw receivers that he looks at and says, I'm better than them, go before him. DK Metcalf said it yesterday. Yeah. It was a blessing in disguise that he wasn't a first round pick, because it caused him to not take for granted the opportunity in Seattle, bust his ass, and be who he is now.
Should that game have been played last night?
Well, it depends on which team you ask.
Well, the Packers getting Aaron Jones back certainly helped, but
right.
It was a bad look for the NFL, in my opinion.
Here's the problem. when the NFL has an opportunity to move forward with a game, it is going to move forward with the game. Because if you bump this game to Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday in order to allow the 49ers to get back Trent Williams, who was removed from the game because he possibly was in sufficiently close contact with Kendrick Bourne to end up getting COVID-19. Or Brandon Ayuk, first round draft pick, receiver, who's done a great job for them. If you get those guys back, okay, fine. But the problem is between now and Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, the 49ers could find out that there are other problems and they could get to a point where you can't play that game. Then what do you do? Then that becomes the first game of the 18th week of the season that we believe is inevitable, but they want to resist it as long as they can. So we saw this for the first time, Dan, with the Buccaneers-Raiders game. They went forward even though the Raiders had their starting offensive line unavailable until Saturday or Sunday morning. I think it was Saturday morning. They weren't prepared and they got blown out. But the NFL got to play the game. The NFL got to cash the check from the networks. I think that's a big factor in all of this, even though, you know, you don't want to make it all about money. They want to get these games in because they want their money. And they got their money last night for having the Packers 49ers game on Fox. And if you had delayed that game, there's no guarantee that you're going to get that game in.
Is that how it works, that NBC will write a check weekly to the NFL?
No.
Okay, I was thinking, wow.
I'm making it as simple as possible and as linear as possible. And it's probably not that way, right? If games are ultimately lost at a time when there are broader negotiations happening with all the networks, I don't know that there's a rebate per se that would go back to the networks, but you avoid that conversation entirely if you're the NFL, if you deliver all 256 games, which they have a strong motivation to do.
I mentioned this yesterday. There are two things I know that are true in the NFL. I know that the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team right now, and I know that the Jets are the worst team in the NFL. I don't know much in between, Mike. Do you have any definitives where you say, absolutely, positively, I know this?
No, it's great. And anytime you try to do that, that's when you find out that you know nothing. And I will agree that the Chiefs are on paper the best team, but I don't know what would happen if you put the Chiefs on the same field as the Steelers right now.
Okay.
Because the Steelers have something. And Dan, I think it was born in last year's adversity and the way they dealt with not having Ben Roethlisberger and had to have a couple of...
What team did you grow up a fan of?
No. I grew up 60 miles from Pittsburgh, but I had to be different. I had to be a contrarian. So I didn't like the Steelers. I wish I had. It would have been a great 70s for me, four Super Bowl trophies. But I think that I've been around Pittsburgh my entire life. I know how this team works. And I think what they went through last year planted the seeds for this year because they have been back. And they fight and they scratch and they claw. I watched that Ravens-Steelers game back on Monday. I don't know how the hell the Steelers won, but you know what?
Yeah.
Throw out all the stats. Only one matters. Points scored, points allowed, and they keep finding a way to do it. So I feel like if they played the Chiefs right now, they'd find a way to outscore the Chiefs, even if the Chiefs would be going up and down the field all day long with Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe, yeah. I came into this season, I said the Steelers are the most fascinating team to me because I thought they had everything. They just needed Ben to be healthy, and Ben has stayed healthy, and here they are undefeated. Your good friend Aaron Rodgers, in the last 2.5 years, 75 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Look, I have become a tremendous Aaron Rodgers fan, and I think part of it is hanging around Chris Sims every day because he regards Aaron Rodgers as the greatest quarterback of all time over his own father, Phil, and... Also, I think that he was done wrong by the Packers earlier this year, which makes him more sympathetic. I don't think they should have drafted a quarterback. They should have gotten him help at receiver. And I think that makes these last years of his in Green Bay, however many there will be, more compelling. And it makes me want to see him do well. And I think he has incredible physical gifts. And he's done more with limited talent around him than I think any quarterback has in recent memory. So, yeah, I think he's tremendous. And last night, it was great to see what they were able to do. Now, it's hard to tell against the 49ers B team, but I like what the Packers have. And I just wish he had more help around him because he'd have a better chance to add to his legacy.
Yeah, and we look at these quarterbacks. You know, Drew Brees is probably going to end up with one Super Bowl. Favre had one Super Bowl. Rodgers may end up with just one Super Bowl. What does that second Super Bowl mean, do you think, the perception-wise of a quarterback?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we want to ask Jim Plunkett that, because he's got two, and he's never mentioned as a potential Hall of Famer, and he's got two Super Bowl wins that he earned as the quarterback of the Raiders. But I think it does start to separate you from the pack of greats. You know, there's this echelon of quarterbacks, and Tom Brady has become, I think once he got to five, the guy that we would admit is the greatest of all time at the position. Once he gets to six, I think the debate ends. But then you start filling in under that. And Super Bowls are part of it. Statistical achievement, longevity is part of it. There are different ways that you can look at it. Brady was the first one to unite championships, longevity, and statistical achievement. But yeah, they all want as many as they can. Ben Roethlisberger said before the season, Dan, he wants to win Super Bowls. He doesn't want just one more. He wants two more or more than two more. I mean, that's the way these guys are wired. It's the Devontae Adams thing. They all want to be the best every time. They want to win every game. They want to win every championship. And it's got to torment them if they only have one when their otherwise great career ends.
The Dolphins situation with Tua, Adam Schefter reported that they basically, this is a 10-game trial for him because they have all these draft picks, including the Texans, and that they might be in the market for a quarterback, which, all right, it surprised me, but it was Schefty reporting it. Brian Flores, the Dolphins coach, comes out and says, you know, we're not doing this. Not that he would say, yes, we are doing this, but what do you make of this situation with Tua Tagovailoa? Is he auditioning to keep this job next year?
And Dan, look, I don't really think we need a report from anyone to lead us to the commonsensical conclusion that when you are holding the Houston Texans first round draft pick, and they currently are in the top five, in a field that's going to have Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, you need to know what you have. You need to know what Tua is. And look, here's the reality. Tua Tagovailoa was an ownership pick by the Dolphins this year. He wasn't a coaching staff GM. Who's the best guy? What's our best option? The owner wants a franchise quarterback. The Bengals said no thank you when the Dolphins tried to trade up. I still don't know what the Dolphins offered, but the Bengals said no. So Stephen Ross wants his franchise quarterback. They picked Tua over Justin Herbert. May have been a mistake based upon what we've seen from Herbert so far. The next 10 games will tell us. But they have to know what Tua has. They have to see what Tua can do, because maybe there's going to be a Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray situation for the Dolphins next year. And you only know whether or not to pursue that potential franchise quarterback by looking at what you have in the guy that you think could be your franchise quarterback. And Dan, look, there's three types of teams in the NFL. Teams that have franchise quarterbacks, teams desperately looking for franchise quarterbacks, and teams that have a guy that they're not quite sure yet whether he is a franchise quarterback. Dolphins are in category number three. They need to know whether they're in category one or category two before they're on the clock with the Texans pick when April rolls around. I think it's a no-brainer that this is what they're doing, because you want the guy that's going to be your guy for the next 15 or 20 years.
Andrew Siciliano tweeting, Mike McCarthy still won't name a starting quarterback for week 9 for the Cowboys. If you ran the Cowboys right now, what would you do?
Well, I would have signed Colin Kaepernick a long time ago to be the backup to Dak Prescott, frankly, instead of Andy Dalton. So if Kaepernick were healthy, he'd be playing right now because Prescott's not available. But based on what I currently have, you just have to hope for the best, because it's not like you could sign a guy and bring him in right now because of the COVID-19 protocols. It's not like you could have an emergency option today and bring a guy in. You're stuck with Garrett Gilbert or Cooper Rush. You've decided Ben DiNucci's not the answer, and you just hope for the best. And, you know, Jerry Jones, I heard your last segment talking about what the Cowboys are doing. Jerry Jones has a couple of word salad radio interviews every week on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And it's a fascinating exercise in let's figure out what Jerry is actually saying. And a lot of times you can't. But he talked about this concept of possibly tanking, and he danced around it. I mean, look, tanking never happens from the perspective of the player or the coach, although sometimes the coach is in on it if he's got job security. Tanking happens when you decide to see what your third string quarterback can do, what your backup defensive back can do, what your backup offensive lineman can do. And then it just kind of takes its course. And if you're the Cowboys right now, and you know it's done, and you know, and you look, it's just done. If you're watching the Cowboys, it's done. Yeah, they could still win the division. Okay, fine. It's done for the Cowboys this year. Once you know it's done, you win by losing. You gain in the draft order by plummeting in the standings. And the NFL never talks about that because they don't want to legitimize it. But I think Jerry Jones is smart enough to know he's got one of these weird years where the team's going belly up. The last time they had a year like this, they got Ezekiel Elliott. They may get somebody great this year. And wouldn't that be something if the Cowboys are in position to decide, do we take Trevor Lawrence? Do we take Justin Fields, or do we pay Dak Prescott $37 million for one more year in 2021?
If I said you could have Dak or Justin Fields?
I'd take Dak because we don't know what Justin Fields is going to be. We just don't know.
I don't want to spend $37 million.
Well, that's a different issue. You didn't tell me what I'm going
to
pay Dak.
No,
you
have
told me
to
which
pay
guy
him.
Do I want. Right. Do I want the Cowboys situation right now, given the way they've mismanaged it for the last 2 years and not paid Dak the moment that the window opened on a second contract? I don't want that situation, because here's the thing. $37 million is just the starting point. I can't tag him in 2022 because he gets a 44% raise over $37 million. That's $54 million in 2022. So I can't do that. I'm taking Justin Fields under that scenario. But you always take the proven guy over the unproven guy if you have the cap space and the cash to pay the proven guy.
Always great to talk to you. We appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, Mike.
All right, Dan, you too, pal.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, ProFootballTalk.com, Pro Football Talk Live with Chris Sims, preceding this show on Peacock. Last call for phone calls. We'll close up shop on this Friday, a meat Friday at that. Time to inspect what's coming off the Traeger grill right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Got a nice little card from Chloe Hundman in Memphis, Tennessee. She wanted to give a shout out to her boyfriend, David. And Mario just handed this to me, so I'm not sure why she wants him to get a shout out, but he got it. Chloe goes on to say about David, he is a second year internal medicine resident physician, and he cares for multiple COVID positive patients every day in the hospital. He took care of the very first COVID-19 patient in Memphis. He listens to the show every morning, getting ready for work, and I know it brings him such joy. If you could give him a shout out. Also sent a picture in. He's got a couple of T-shirts there from our merchandising department there. And by the looks of this with David, he sent a picture of Chloe sent a picture. And David is over skis a little bit here with Chloe. Well done, David. And there's David with his earbuds on listening to the show in his scrubs. So thank you for sending that in, Chloe. You're a wonderful girlfriend. And if it doesn't work out with David, no, never mind. I'm sorry. Let's see. Last call for phone. I love when Seton just hears enough of a comment where he pops his head up. Yes, Seton. And if it doesn't work out, what?
We know a fella in Honolulu that.
Yeah.
No.
Ryan in Honolulu will always be there.
Taken.
Yes, he's taken. He's taken with Todd, apparently. All right, phone calls. Let's close up shop here. George in Ohio. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Another shout out for Todd.
Whoa. Okay.
I'm a little late with this, but I know he gets teased a lot about the mock headlines and trying to be funny and everything. But earlier in the week, the Harry Carey story. I mean, oh, man, I was just laughing so hard. I think it's the funniest thing he's ever done, except with the Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, yeah. Well, George has been around for a long time. Thank you, George. Yeah, when Chrissy Teigen would visit the show, I'd lose Todd. I remember when you were lying on the couch and singing to her.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Not for her. By the way, here are the Cowboys' options this week. Garrett Gilbert hasn't completed a pass in the NFL in 679 days. Cooper Rush hasn't completed an NFL pass in 1,113 days. I hope on Monday that's still not the case for at least one of them. I hope they complete a pass coming up this weekend against the Steelers. Esteban in California. Esteban has a bet with Fritzy. I think it's over 9.5. Oh, no, it's Paulie. The Raiders will end up with at least 10 wins this year. Hey, Esteban.
How you doing, Dan? Good morning, gentlemen.
What's on your mind?
So I was calling to just a couple points. I wanted to know what Brent would think about my bet. That would be fun if we can call him up and find his thoughts on that. I don't know if he would take it or not. Number two is I don't think we made any trades as a Raider fan because we knew we were going to find all this money. We just had no money to make any trades. And then lastly is, you know, in a 2020 type of scenario, if the Raiders were to get their hands on Davante Adams and marry up Derek Carr and Davante Adams again from college days, how good would the Raiders be this year?
And that would be nice. Thank you, Esteban. I didn't see that one coming, that all of a sudden you're going to get Davante Adams from the Packers. I'm going to guess that seems unlikely. Kyle in California. Hi, Kyle. What do you have for me?
Hey, BP. I was just thinking maybe the Cowboys could grab Aaron Rodgers at the suite. Maybe a little Julio Jones in there, too.
Okay. Would be awesome. Yeah, I think that worked.
According to Esteban's logic, it could happen. Anyway, we're talking about the Cowboys, and like at the beginning of the season, they were a Super Bowl pick, and now it seems they're so freaking far away. I mean, if you tank for Trevor, I don't know what that stops giving up 40 points a game. The O-line sucks. They're injured. I mean, it went from a team that was so close to a team that seems so far away with a lot of holes. Unless we can get Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a good weekend. I got a trade for you. I remember when we'd get those phone calls. I was thinking maybe, and it was always, how does this benefit the Yankees? I was thinking we give up Luis Soho for Big Poppy. I'll hang up and listen. Like, no. We give up Jabba Chamberlain for Roger Clemens. I'll hang up and listen. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Shoe shopping means checking out ladies dancing, yes. Adult entertainment yes. style.
First time I heard that, I was in Atlanta, and somebody said, "Do you want to go shoe shopping?" I go, "I don't have any money." He goes, "Just bring singles." I go, "What?" Yeah, shoe shopping. Going to a strip club. McLovin, what did you learn today?
I also had no idea that that's what shoe shopping meant.
Seton O'Connor?
Ryan is the Todd of callers.
Paulie?
Friend Musker told you kids out there, don't be betting.
This Friday and Saturday, the world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 races. The Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. Thank you again to this great audience. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday here on the Dan Patrick Show.